Let's talk more semi-pro football. The founder of the Manitowoc County Mariners sits down with the guys in part two of their series on local football as we go on the line. Now here's your hosts, Evan Smith and Ryan Braun.
The founder of the Manitowoc County Mariners is with us today from the Sea Haver Broadcasting Studios. I'm Ryan Braun. He's Evan Smith. And before we talk football, a big congratulations to all the boys' teams that made it to the sectional round of the WIAA basketball tournament. Some of the local teams advancing to Thursday's semifinal round are Keele in Division 3, they're unbeaten yet, Reedsville in Division 5, and of course the Cinderella story of Division 4, Ron Colley. The Jets game will be aired on 107.9 FM WOMT and at WOMTRadio.com at 7 o'clock this Thursday. And also the state finalists have been determined. In Division 1, Arrowhead and Franklin, Nina and Hartford. Division 2, Pewaukee and West Salem. Wauwatosa East and Notre Dame. In Division 3, Edgewood versus Baldwin Woodville. Xavier at Kettle Moraine Lutheran. Then we have Laconia and the Prairie School. Cuba City and McDonald Catholic. And in Division 5, Argyle, Pecatonica, and Albany Monticello. And Clear Lake and Lena. So, welcome to Marcos Alfaro, the founder of the Manitowoc County Mariners semi-pro football team. How are we doing, Marcos?
Hey, good buddy. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
You can talk into the microphone.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, of course. So it's always nice to have local teams represented, especially at every level of every sport. Semi-pro, we talked last week with the founder of the Sheboygan County Sabercats. And it's just a great opportunity for local players to continue playing the sport they love.
No, yes, definitely, man. That's what we're here for. I mean, we started in 2009 with that idea in mind. So I myself played semi-pro football. So I said, hey, why not start a team here? I was helping with the team I was on at that time. And I felt like, hey, we need something here at home. So I was in Green Bay all the time helping with that team, and we had some success there. And it's like, we need something here in our own and in our own backyard, so.
And then you also get the opportunity to play at the wonderful Rubik Municipal Field.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's a magical place, man. We need to be well-behaved when we're there because a lot of these, you know, Manitowoc County is a sports town, man. They take their sports seriously, whatever it is, and they're passionate about it. So if you you misstep a little bit, you hear from it. I'm sure Coach Smith here is finding that out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, you know, that's one thing I'm really trying to do this year is I want to bring in more of a better atmosphere to it, kind of get more of a crowd out there, win, lose, draw, whatever it is, trying to get some excitement for the, you know, the community to get behind on all levels.
Yes.
You know, youth, you know, high school, semi-pro, doesn't really matter what it is. You know, there isn't, you know, you got to go kind of far to go get a show around here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people around here, that's not exactly always the easiest thing. So the more, you know, the more sports shows we can bring to the community and the better, you know, the better product we can put on the field, the more it's going to benefit us as a whole.
And then that will also benefit you potentially because if 100%. Some of these players want to keep playing in the next level but don't quite get taken at the college level, mm-hmm. well, then they stop by you.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of times, you know, we talk about the youth, right? And when you're in high school, it's hard to decide where what you want to do, right? And that goes not just for working or what are you doing. I know you see a lot of the building trades now doing a lot of shows and helping kids figure out what they're trying to do. And I think with us, we're trying to do the same thing. Like you, if you can't play college or you can't do something right away, you can come play with us and keep your mind at least focused on something positive. Cause we all know how that saying goes, idle minds is the devil's playground.
Oh, yeah.
Something like
yeah.
that. And so you get these young men to play for us. And for us, we've been pretty fortunate that we've had guys move on. We've had some probably 6 to 7 guys move on to play arena. Head coach of the Blizzard, Corey Roberson, it's my guy. He played for us in 2010. So, and now he's a head coach up there. He was actually, I think he was, he was classmates and frat brothers with Brent Lipke, our current head coach. So we've had guys go overseas, probably about 4 guys over the years, play overseas in Austria and places like that. All because playing with us, and we have huddle services for them guys. It's a database for playbook or plays. Your highlight plays that you can share with other coaches.
Yep.
You want to talk a little bit about what Huddle is for those who might not?
Yeah, so Huddle is just a database, really. Most high school, I think all high schools
use it. Yeah, we use it. Yeah,
so it's just a matter you can share film, and if you have a personal highlights, you can actually go on there and put all your highlights and mix them together. So if you're not, if you're a high school player and have a Huddle account and plays, you play for us, you can actually do that too. So it's just a database. It's in your name, and it's a team thing, and you can share that. We have a guy right now, Lance Billings. He played last year. He didn't play for us. He's a great, great athlete. He ended up playing for a team in Austria and through Huddle. That's, you know, they don't know who you are, right?
Right.
You call up, hey, I'm Lance Billings. I want to play. They don't know who the heck you are. So he told the team himself he benefited a lot from Huddle. And as a coach, what do? We want to see what you do. I don't care what you tell me.
Right.
It's what you can show me. What can you see? So that's pretty a very good service that we have that helps some of our players. Some players want to come play ball to stay busy. Some want to move on. Some just want to get the experience to coach down the road.
Sure. Let's talk about the importance of you preach it to all the players, Evan, the importance of putting good film out there. What does good film look like? Yeah, you can rush for 1,000 yards. You can catch for 50 touchdowns. But what does good film look like compared to just average type of film?
Well, I think for me, good film is what you can do when you face some type of adversity. Like for example, let's just talk running back, right? Man, I mean, if you bust through a hole and you rush for a 20-yard game, awesome. Good for you, right? But to me, like, you know, let's say you're running a zone right, let's keep it simple, and a guy makes a beautiful cutback, sees the hole. Now you just, as a coach, you just saw his vision and his feel for the game, right? So nothing, no offense to the guys that break through the hole and make a big run. That's great, but that was more of a team accomplishment, right? What I'm looking for is what kind of plays are you making? What kind of catches are you making when in traffic, right? Or when someone's on you? What quarterback, what are you doing when you drop back and somebody's not open? What are you doing? Okay, you do after. Great if it's there and you make the throw, 1, 2, 3, ball's gone. That's what we want. That's what we preach. But what happens after? What happens when things don't go your way? I think that for me, that's the important thing that I would look for.
Yeah, 100%. When you really look at film, the biggest thing is, like you said, you want to see, okay, you know, I know you can kick the crap out of this guy. That's clearly, you know, you're a superior athlete then. But when you get up against somebody, same, you know, kind of same level, same type, maybe the same kind of hype, like, how are you going to play? Yeah. Are you going to step up? Are you going to not show up? Like you said, too, when you got to be able to see, can they operate in the team context? Then what can they do when all of a sudden things break down? Can they make something happen? Mm-hmm. Can they, you know, like, are they a difference maker in that sense? You know, like as a linebacker on defensively and stuff like that, can you be your gap? Are you anticipating plays, or are you just kind of reading, reacting? You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you know, things like that where it's just like, yeah, you might be around the thing, but, you know, if you kind of had a better understanding, you should be making that play. You know, those are things you look for, like DBs, stuff like that. You know, do you know how to read it? Like, how are your zone drops? How are your man drops? Like, do you understand leverage? Do you understand route combinations? Like, how can you do it where, you know, are you a physical guy? You know, or do you get pushed around really easy? Those kind of things. Are you willing to participate in the run defense? You know, like,
exactly. You willing to come and get your nose
there? Exactly. You know, like there's a handful of things as far as film goes out, but you know, I'm glad you kind of mentioned that because we're actually going to be doing a meeting for our players at some point this week as to how to kind of get their Instagram and their Twitter accounts squared away. Start working on their Huddle film, things like that, so guys can start getting their tape out, because that is a huge thing. And I know when we talked last week to TJ, we even said that too. It's like, I know you guys would like to retain your players, but you really, you know, when you do look at semi-pro, unless that's just kind of, it's a love of the game thing, it is a stepping stone, just like most things are, because at the end of the day, what a kid's, you know, if you have any kind of aspirations, you want to play in the highest league, you know, you want to try and get there. And sometimes you got to take the long path to get there, you know, but at the end of the day, once you get out of high school, if you're not really have a certain direction, like, you know, you didn't really put a lot of effort into doing it. And then all of a sudden you kind of fall in love with the game in your last year. And it's like kind of too little too late, or, you know, whatever it is, like you said, at least you can go, you can put some film out there. And then not to mention you're now playing with guys had a little bit higher caliber. So, you know, you know, so it can be graded a little bit easier in that sense, you know.
Well, you mentioned falling in love with the game a little bit later. There was someone my brother went to high school with. He played hockey from knee high to a grasshopper all the way up through. And then when he got to his senior year, he's like, man, I really wish I had put more effort in because I now really love this game and I would love to play beyond this level. But at that point, he hadn't put enough effort in to get to that next level. And there really is no semi-pro per se for hockey where there is for football.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's definitely over my course of my time. I've seen that. I've seen a lot of examples of that where when so broad that it's just hard to really pinpoint something. But like I'll say some guys like you're talking about, I've seen that. All of a sudden they're in year one. I remember Jake Wallace, a big one of our big bigger stars, if you will, in our first years, you know, for maybe his second year, he wasn't, you know, didn't know where he could fit in. And all of a sudden, third, fourth, fifth year, he's winning championships with us, being one of the best safeties in the league back in the early 2000s, 2010, 11, and 12 and that. But there was a good example there, and there's been examples down the road where it's like, okay, they come in, they don't know exactly what they want to do, but you just work with them and just work with them. Don't discount them and just give them that pathway to get better.
Yeah, and we were talking before we came in here that you're not so worried about the wins and losses, but the wins have come over the years. You really only had a couple of down years, as it were. Do you feel like the way you approach the game is specifically at this level is we're out here because we love the game. Do you feel like that is part of the reason you've had success over the years?
I believe so wholeheartedly. I mean, when we started this thing in 2009, I remember sitting down with my wife and my buddy Matt Stebbs and my cousin Abs. It was like, hey, I want to build something. He thought it was crazy. You know, like, why do you want to do that? I'm like, you know, I said, I remember to this day, it was April of 2009. I said, I want to build something with the community that people could love. I don't care about the championships. I really don't. Wins, losses. Hey, if that happens, that's a bonus. It's a cherry on top. But if it doesn't, I want somebody to love this program. I don't want to just waste my time. I want something lasting. And we're here now in 2024 about to start our 14th season, man. And I think we've done
incredible.
That. And in semi-pro football, a lot of semi-pro teams don't last because it's always about – and I say it, and I'll say it again to everybody listening. I know I speak a different language, and it's not just Spanish. I speak a different language in the sense that you go to – like what separates you from a five-year-old? Go up to any five-year-old and take what they have in their hand and say, hey, that's mine. What are they going to say? No, mine. They want something, right? They want it. They want to win. What separates you from that? Every program talks about winning. Well, I don't want to be every program. I want to be somebody you can bring your kids, watch this game, and say, man, I played for them dudes. Hey, I played for that team. And I told you, it's happening now. Mm-hmm. We've had Jake Wallace come down. We had Dan Anderson come down. We have Rich. All these guys that have played for us, won our championships, won games with, that doesn't even matter to me. What matters to me is now I'm seeing their kids. I'm seeing their kids come, and they can come to a Mariners game without the fear of getting beaten up or something thrown at them. Mm. And that's what I'm trying to build. So if the championship comes along the way, I'll take it. But if not, if we change lives along the way, and where we have our players' kids love the game because they were Mariners. I mean, so we were taking care of this one little girl. One of our players was talking about giving me crap about the Cowboys, you know, Cowboys lost to the Packers. And still heartbroken about that. But she's like, why don't you coach the Cowboys? And I said, yeah, right. What are you talking about? And she's second grader. And she's like, well, you made the Mariners win. Like, the, you know, the Mariners win, and you're coaching. I was like, wow, I said, that's got nothing to do with me. That's a lot of other things have to happen. Well, she's a little girl. But
sure. But
just that conversation with her, you know, just her saying that to me, like, oh, yeah, she's in her mind, winning equals Mariners, mm-hmm. and we should be doing Cowboys, you know, right. So we can win. But it was just a special moment, and I'm after those moments. So when I say we speak a different language, it's that. It's mm-hmm. the culture of just family. Come, look, man, if we win, we win. You know, I've gone to a couple funerals of some of my friends I played with, unfortunately, right? And like I told you, just recently, a guy passed away, we went and to his funeral and all the players that played with him and over the years. And we didn't talk about a single football game. We didn't talk about a single championship that we won or didn't win. We talked about the great times. Like, wow, man, that guy was such a super dude. Oh, my God, he was a friend. You know, that's what mattered. No one cares about your rings, man. No one cares about your wins, losses. No one No one cares. In Two Rivers High School, there's a thing up there that says, no one cares, work harder. And I really take that to heart, you know, and I have a lot of respect for that coaching staff and Kevin down there. He does this an amazing job of just keeping people focused. Like, hey, what's our job here? And that's kind of what I want to take from this game. If my time is done at the Mariners at any moment, I want it to keep going. I don't want it to be just because I'm here. I want it to build the team.
Well, that's kind of the same thing that was preached at my high school was, hey, those kids out there playing flag football, they're not pretending to be, at the time, Brett Favre and Donald Driver. They're pretending to be you, the quarterback and the wide receiver and the running back. And they're trying to be you. And that's something that Evan's kind of stepping into now with a 100-year history of Manitowoc Lincoln football and the struggles they've had over the past 10 or so years, bringing that back, the success back that goes along with being able to say, hey, I was a shipbuilder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, I think it's just lost in coaching in general nowadays where it's this win now mentality. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's such a big business now.
Yes.
You know, like that's really what's kind of axed a lot of that, like, you know, a lot of that kind of coaching style where, you know, I think there's still a great place for it that, you know, where the players come first, you care about them, this and that. But the problem is, you know, here comes the NIL.
I thought we'd get a week without it, man.
No, but like I'm just saying, NFL, the whole nine, is once it gets into a business thing, because what happens is winning drives numbers, right? So exactly. Like, you know, except for when it comes to the Cowboys.
we're not big Cowboys fans on this program. So
no, but like, you know, but that's what I mean, though. Like, it, you know, unless it's like some kind of storied franchise, you know, like those teams where it's just like, yeah, it's built into it and everything. But the problem is when those teams do have down years, everyone wants to sit there and bitch about how, get a better coach.
Are you the Weedon boys, huh? You steal them boys? Every year, there's that meme of you steal them boys, all the quarterback.
Like I said, I think, you know, if you want to say it, like, Cowboys have a great coach. They got the right guy for the thing. It's just the team's
coming from the guy who played for him.
Yeah. You know, they got somebody like, you know, you don't hire a guy, then he takes you to the playoffs 3 years in a row when you're
a great record.
Yeah, put your division up there, 13 plus wins.
Mm-hmm. From NFC least to NFC most.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and Mike was one of those players guys where it's a player's game. The players play. Like, you need to give players answers. You need to care about these guys. Like, you know, he let the coach, you know, it wasn't just about him. He makes sure all his coaches were known by players. Like, they all got a voice and everything like that. Like I said, it's disappearing because everything is now, like, it's a business, you know, it's what can you do for me right now? Mm-hmm. You know, how can you be better for me right now? What can you, you know, how can you improve my team? And I get that, but like where it loses things is it loses the camaraderie. Like you said, the great stories, you know, when you're sitting there and you might have a team for 1 year and the next year you're gonna be like, hey, guess what guys, like 20% of this team is coming back because everyone is going to leave as soon as like, X, Y, or Z happens. Mm-hmm. And then the other problem with that is you see it on plenty of shows, is like you have this team, it's built all great and everything. First sign of no success or you have trouble, everybody's just, they check out, they're done. There's no, you know, there's no mental toughness, there's no grit, there's no integrity. Like,
well, if we go back to the last time the Ravens won the Super Bowl, the following year, half of the team, all the like the big players were on the Niners.
I'm going to tell you, in the NFL, only 30% of the team, it's like 30 to 25% of the team stays every year because that's all they can pay. So it's you're getting guys that are rolled over from contracts, but let's put it this way, probably 35 dudes stay every year. You replace 55 guys every year.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Because the bottom half of your roster is always up for grabs.
Right.
Your practice squad guys, and then what people always forget too, it's like every single year they cut 30 dudes off of a team. So like when you have a 90-man roster, every year, all of a sudden 90 guys show back up every year. You're walking out of there with 53 of them, and then you're playing with 45 of them. So it's like, and then of those four, you know, and then the 45 are probably the dudes that have the best chance of staying. So you go from 90 guys, you got 50 cats every year that are definitely going to be different. You know, and I would see it every single year. It's you know, like I said, that's why teams, it's, you got to pick the guys you want to be the core of your team. Yes. That's why those dudes that you pay that money, their leadership and their roles in that aspect, they're huge, because those are the dudes setting the tempo, they're setting, you know, the work standard, everything for your squad. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I was fortunate. I got to play with Charles Woodson.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, there wasn't too many guys that you could be like, oh, dude, like, no. Like, Charles was, he was right up there. You know what I mean? We had Charles, Nick, A-Rod, Donald Driver. Like, I came into a very good group of people that had a really high standard. The coach had a high standard. The organization had a super freaking high standard of what was expected. You know, like when we walked in there, McCarthy said it's Super Bowls. You know what I mean? Now, it wasn't, oh, we're going to do this. It was, we're going to build a team and we're going to come together as a team, because at some point, like, that's what's going to win it. Like you said, it's not, the winning just comes with it.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. But it's, if you can't get your team to buy into being a group, buying into each other, buying into the fact that, you know, buying into the fact that you guys have a common goal and that no one's really going to come to help you, and it's pretty much you guys got to do it on your own. If you can get behind that, you can get guys into it, you can go a long ways.
Well, how many times have you seen these quote-unquote super teams? They got all these great players, but they're just not the team. They're just a group of guys.
Yeah, well, the same thing happens in the NBA. You put a bunch of all-star dudes together, and their teams suck. And it's like, why?
It's all ego.
Yep. Oh, everyone's got to get their stats and this and that. And it's like, really, the only team that ever did that kind of to an extent was like when Miami did it with D-Wade and Chris Bosh. Yeah. That was about the only team I've ever seen that many guys come together. Other than that, it's always like one or two cats, because that's about all the room you got for ego.
But I would say, with that Miami team, it was a little different, because D-Wade was Mr. Miami. They brought in guys to support him. Granted, it was, you know, LeBron James and Chris Bosh, but in big names. But they brought in guys to surround Wade with, whereas opposed to, here are some of the best players in each position all fighting for their stats.
Yeah.
You could tell they were playing as a unit. Mm-hmm. I'm not even a basketball guy, and I could tell you they were playing as a unit.
That's what I'm saying. Some guys, they get it. Like, you know, when you watch Kobe play, like, Kobe played to win. Now,
he was taking all the shots,
his mentality,
because that's what his role was.
Yeah. The whole team was like, give the ball to Kobe, because he's going to give us the best chance to win most of the time.
He could put it up 80 points if he needs to.
He wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, but he'd also go back down on the other side of the court and make sure whoever he was guarding would score 10 points at the most.
There was a year they were in the part of the Olympics, and one of his teammates, I forget who it was. Paul Gasol was on the other,
he ran
straight through him. It's like, you're on my team when we're in the NBA, but this is not the NBA. Yep, I'm here to win. Right now.
But that's what I mean. Like, that mindset is
gone, I think.
It's kind of gone, you know. And football is probably still one of the sports. I mean, you probably get that in a lot of that 7-on-7 stuff. But the thing is, 7-on-7 doesn't really help anybody out.
No.
Unfortunately, like, those 7-on-7 leagues, like, they're all good and fine. But you're not teaching guys how to read fronts. You're not teaching them how to read the back end, how the back end works with the front end, because they do work in tandem. Like, 7-on-7 is just, you know, like, you have an understanding how these guys might play in the back end, but like, once you have to actually get formations and they have to line up where they're supposed to be because of like what you're in, you know, it changes a lot of things. But when you're in 7-on-7, everyone knows you're passing the ball.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Of course it's going to, you know, you're going to have guys out there, stuff like that, like a bunch of crazy coverages. But, like, you're not going to be running half those coverages when it's 1st and 10. It's 1st and 10. You don't line up in cover 3. You're going to line up in cover 4, or you're going to run a safety down, or you're going to go cover 2 or something like that. But you're not going to sit there run some kind of crazy version of 6 and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. You know, it's like I said, you know, when I get my chance to talk to my guys about this, but it's like, listen, it's like when you're the cue and you snap the, you know, we snap the huddle, like, you need to know where the mic is. Mm-hmm. And then you need to you need to be able to look at the front. You need to be able to, you know, cause I'm going to have things where I'm going to be like, you need to check it. You need to know where the one technique is, how they're supposed to line up. Like, you need to know if it's a 2-high, 1-high look, because we're going to need to check it based off of either rotation of the safeties, or we're going to check it off of where the 3 technique is. Like, there's a handful of things. And like I said, staring at, you know, 7 dudes dropping out the pass all the time isn't going to help you with that.
Yeah, it's not going to help,
You know, now.
That does make sense.
Yeah, they do. Now, don't get me wrong. The throwing, the getting on time with your guys, those kind of things, like, it does need to be done. But, like, you know, that quarterbacks just can't rely heavily on like, oh, I'm a 7-on-7 champion. It's like, yeah, well, what else
happens?
That's
cool.
Yeah, it's like, well, what also happens when your tackle misses a blocking out a 250-pound guy about to rip your head off? Like, are you going to stick in, throw the ball? Are you going to be able to make a move? Like, you know, they're it's like how I have the problem with how they took the shot clock out of the basketball in this state.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like, it, you know, it's like, I don't know if they have a clock in 7-on-7, but I remember, I'm going to just tell you right now, you got 2.5 seconds. That's it.
Yeah, one, two, yeah, three, bam.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 2.5 seconds with that ball in your hand. Anytime after that, you better start running for your life.
Mm-hmm. Just like riding a bull, 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu.
Yeah, well, no, like, you know, remember we used to have an alarm, like at practice when I played for the Packers, they'd have a light and alarm, and every time play start, they'd hit that thing, and all of a sudden 2.5 would go off, and you'd get, like the lights would start going off. Because it's like, tell the quarterbacks, like, you better start running, dude. Yeah, someone's going to kill you. Clay Matthews is coming, and he's not happy.
Like, you can't just sit there,
No, and that's what I mean. Like, when you look at some of that stuff, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you take the pass rush away, yeah, anybody can look great throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. I could look great throwing the ball. You know,
right.
It's
you give me all the time in the world. Yeah. I could hit 99%
of the
passes.
Well, it's not even all the time in the world. It's like when you just don't have the threat of some guy ripping, you know, like going to come in and basically break you in half, you know, potentially every play.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your attitude and what you think you can do. But then what happens is you get these guys and they get in the game and then it's
deer in a headlight.
Yeah, you know, hands are shaking. They're like,
that's what separates a good thrower of the football from a good quarterback.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, with a lot of the stuff that goes on today with, you know, some of these leagues and stuff like that, like we get back to the kind of the base of the point is, you know, when you build a team, you got to teach these guys how to basically either, if not, you know, be with each other, respect each other. You know, not everybody's got to be friends on a team, but at the end of the day, like, you guys have to have respect for the fact that, like, you guys are there for a common goal.
Yes,
you're there to do a common thing. And if you guys can't respect that fact or get behind that fact, like, you're never going to be successful on this team. Mm-hmm.
And that's, a good point that you to finish your point on, because that's where the Mariners, I think, separate themselves from a lot of, you know.
Exactly.
I always tell people I'm not better than anybody, but in that aspect, we don't want to meet players. If you're listening and you're thinking to join the Mariners and you have a bad attitude and you can't take criticism and you can't take somebody calling you out on your crap, this is not the team for you.
Well, you can see it. Just look, I pulled up the stats right here, and you can see it that it's not a me team, because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that had 100-plus yard rushing seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's correct. And Malcolm Young, former Ship football player, shout out to him. He played for the Sabercats for a year before coming to you. He put up 219.
Exactly.
And then 151 for Terrell Bullock, 124 for Darius Campanella. And then we have Adrian Abeda with 193. I mean, you just have a list of guys that are...
Yeah, because we spread it all around, and we're not going to – we don't put up – if you want to come and throw your helmet, or you want to come and throw temper tantrums, we're like, hey, you do that on that side of the fence. You do that out there in the stands, because one thing we preach a lot in our program is, once you put on a Mariners shirt for coaching, or you put on a Mariners helmet, you lose the right to be a fan. You're no longer a fan. You are working here.
Mm-hmm.
We are working here, so you can't criticize Coach Smith. You can't quote Coach whoever or player. You have to cheer them on whether they are doing good or bad. And that is hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah.
To not be a fan when you're calling me. And it's a tough thing, but that's a standard that we have.
That reminds me a lot of the movie Miracle. What he's talking, he's in the locker room. He's like, when you put on that jersey, you represent yourself and your teammates. The name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of my favorite quotes out of any sports movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Because it really represents what makes a good team.
And that's kind of what and it's hard. I mean, semi-pro is difficult, and I get it. I mean, we have coaches sometimes that come in, and good guys. Right now, we have a great group of coaches. I mean, I am fortunate to have those guys wanting to come and be a part of our program. And I believe it because most of them, played around here. We have Brent Lipke, our head coach, to start with. He was a head coach at Two Rivers for 6 years. Brought him to the playoffs the first time in like 20, 30 years when he was there. And had a lot of success. He's a Lakeland University Hall of Famer. He's Lakeshore All Sports Hall of Famer. You got our defensive coordinator, Rick Roulette. You know, he's a Racing Raider Hall of Famer. I could go on and on. All these guys that coach. And they're on our website, MarinersFootballMC.com, by the way, just a little plug.
I got that pulled up. That's where I got all the stats on.
But anyway, we got these guys that played around here, grew up here, coached youth football here, and so they're proud of the fact. So they don't want to put up with me guys. And there's guys that leave, and we say, hey, well, bye.
Yeah, have fun. Good luck. See you later.
Because we want I just can't say this enough about this program. We want to be here so you can bring your kids here and say, hey, we played for this guy. We played for that guy. We played for the Mariners, man. It's something special to me. And man, when I go to the Wellness Center or the Y and some of these older guys that go there, they know what's happening. And so get ready, Head Coach Smith, for that. When you go around here, people are going to question some stuff they hear on the game day, even if they weren't there. And we've got, I think, to that. And that just makes me want to work harder. Obviously, I want to bring a championship home. Obviously, that's always the goal. Winning's always the goal, right? But aside from that, I think it gets lost. We put so much pressure on who's here, who's not here. We're going, man. This train's leaving. Are you going to be on it? You'll be on it. If not, guess what? We go down, I'm going down swinging. I'm going down as the guy that's going to speak different than the other guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the guy that says, hey, I love you, man. You know, I always tell my wife, I don't like that word. I don't like using it. I know I should, but I'd rather show you by my actions. And that's just the way I am. And I'll say it, you know, but we want to be that program that says, hey, just come and be cool, man. I want your grandpa to come watch you play, not come watch you be a damn fool on the field, you know? And that's where we're at.
Well, it's kind of like the old Remember the Titans thing that all come in into the barber shop afterwards and everyone's talking. Oh, man, they're looking real good this year, man. Yeah, it's the same type of thing, both with Lincoln. You'll see it with Lutheran. You'll see it with Rock Collie, with Two Rivers, with you guys, everybody around the area. Yeah. I'm sure it happens in Reedsville and Keele these smaller schools.
Manitowoc County here, man, is pretty passionate. One thing I've learned over the years just coaching high school.
Coaching the semi-pro football, doing this team, Manitowoc County is passionate about their sports, man. Mm-hmm. Don't mess with these guys' sports, man. I don't care who you are. But we've been fortunate for that because it really, our goal at the beginning was to build something that we, that the community can support and love, and I think we're there. I mean, we're there entering our 14th season now, and just having the success we've had along with that mentality, we couldn't ask for anything more. Our sponsors are there. They you know, put their hard-earned money. We couldn't do it without them. We couldn't do it without the support that we get with the community. We couldn't be here. And you mentioned those stat leaders. Two or three of them I coached in high school myself in Two Rivers.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. And it's cool because over the years, we've probably had about 16 players that I've coached either in the Junior Raiders program, which back then was Ramblers, but Junior Raiders now, coach them there or in the high school that they've played with us, including my own son that's a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's just beautiful to see. They come back and they want to play for Coach Marcos, man, or Coach Randy, Coach Rico. We got Rico. We got Robert Flores on there. Scott Clem, he's the president of the Two Rivers Junior Raiders. He coaches an assistant on defense. Guys have played for Coach Roulette, played for Coach Lipke. They're now on the team because they want to come play for them guys. Mm-hmm. So just having that special group of guys wanting to coach and be on here. They all grew up here pretty much and played here. And I can't tell you how thankful that this program is to have those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, I mentioned it to a couple of players last season when we were coaching with the ships. Like, hey, if you're not going to make it to the college level, that's fine. You could still play afterwards. Yeah, There's plenty of good programs here.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's always nice to see that mentality of us, we,
yes,
not
and
I.
It is, exactly. And that's exactly what this program is all about. So, like I said, if you're watching or you're listening and saying, hey, I'd like to check out the Mariners, please be sure you're a team player first. And I know youth sports coaches, and I know Coach Smith will say this to people, they don't want you over there. If you're going to have this attitude, I'm not putting up with it. I do this for fun, man.
Right.
We had practice last night at on Sunday night at the Purdy Performance Center. And, you know, we had a good group of guys. I'm doing it for fun. I don't want to come here and just start crapping on you, man, yelling at you, or I want to have a good time too doing this. So it's especially if you're an adult,
Mm-hmm. You come in here, you better have a good attitude. You better be ready to work and be a team player. Not be throwing stuff around. We don't deal with temper tantrums, man. I mean, you have a problem, we'll help you. We've helped a lot of guys off the field, whether it is moving to a new apartment or maybe some counseling, some, hey, coach, I need to talk. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you got partner issues, you know, girlfriend issues, whatever. And sometimes, you know, we've had those conversations. So it's, you know, it's like, man, I don't know what advice I can give you, but I know what I screwed up in. Right. I'm not telling you what to do, but right. I'll tell you how I messed up. Right. And so take it from there. So I've had a lot of those conversations, which are great. And that's the beauty of it.
And another way you've been able to bring the community together, I forget when it was, but you held a pro wrestling event recently.
Yes, yeah.
You sold that son of a gun out, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to do, because I have the help we have, so I have to mention that part, because we have the coaches we have the helpers we have the volunteers we have, I'm able to kind of explore what the Mariners brand can do on their own and probably provide more, like you said. You have to go far away to get to do something, you know, special around here. I mean, we have a lot of events in the area, and a lot of people do a great job. But we've had pro wrestling. We haven't had in this area in a long time at the community center in Two Rivers. I'm like, well, let me see what we can do about that. Mm. And, man, it was such a great turnout, man. We just had such a great time. We had a whole bunch of volunteers. And all I have to do is set things up, and these guys bail me out, man.
It's always good to surround yourself with good people.
Exactly. And that's the beauty, because I see other programs, and the owner has to do this, the owner has to do that, and that, and that, and that. And it's like, you look at the Mariners, it's like, if Marcos doesn't show up to a football game, that football game is going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have guys in post where, and you know what? I'm proud of that. You run into a lot of leaders who say, well, if I'm not here, this situation goes down the hill. Or this program won't be here if it wasn't for me. Marcos Alfaro Sr. cannot say that.
That's not something to be proud of.
Exactly. I cannot say that, and I wouldn't say that because I can't. I'd be lying.
Right.
I owe a lot to our game day volunteers, people that just want to help. And it's like so many people ask, how can I help? How can I help? There's a job for everybody everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as you got to do is have a good positive attitude and come out. But, yeah, we had a pro wrestling event with a local professional wrestler, Shane Hills. We had great success. We had probably over 400 people there. And it was just –
That's no small feat for that area, too.
Exactly. No, it wasn't. And it was, you know, there was other shows going on in other places in town, and we still were able to have that many people. So it's something down the road that we want to do. We want to be more, we want to be just a part of the community in a positive manner. So,
yeah, no, it's, I mean, when you sit there and you look back at it, I mean, that is what sports need to be doing, though. Mm-hmm. You know, just in general, like, you know, Packers do a great job giving back to the community because the community gives so much to us, yes. Right?
No, you're right, exactly.
You know, as the teams and everything for their support. So anything we can do to give back,
yes.
Anything we can do in that fashion, I mean, it's mm-hmm. great. Not something like you said, too. There isn't a whole lot, you know, you got to kind of go outside the Green Bay, Milwaukee mm-hmm. and everything else, or, you know, the few performing arts centers we got around here for shows. But like. Yeah, like you said, where not everybody has the money to get out of town and go to a WWE event when it comes through the rush. Not everyone has the money to go see a Garth Brooks concert, things that, you know, like
especially a Garth Brooks
concert. Yeah, yeah, you know, but you know what I mean. Exactly. Like, but you know what I'm saying though, like, but for the community and the county that we live in, like, there's a lot of people that have a lot of interest in a lot of things, and I think if more things were presented to them, the community would be more behind it.
And speaking of concerts, we actually had a band, a startup band, Delusional. I'll give them a shout out, but they were actually played there
nice.
In between matches and an intermission, and they came out. They're a '90s grunge band.
Perfect.
So, but they, you know, it's a lot of stuff that probably we're familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. That we kind of grew up in, or you know, we're maybe adolescent or whatever years. But they played too there, so we had two in one. But one thing we also do, we did a Y program, Super Sunday. On Super Sunday, we had 36 kids at our Y football camp participate there, where our coaches, some players and some of our coaches were out there. Brent Lipke, you know, just led his staff there and had a great camp. We had a great two-hour camp on Super Sunday. It was like, we weren't sure what was going to happen. I'm like, well, let's do it. Like, let's do it. Whatever, man. I mean, we
failed.
Worst case
scenario, five kids show up.
Exactly. And you know what? Then those five kids will be well taken care of.
Exactly.
And I said that to... I said that to the players yesterday. I said, you know, if you're a religious person and there's somewhere in the Bible it says where two or three in my name are, I will be or I am present. I look at that in football or any sport. Like where two or three are, well, let's get some work done. If I have one running back, then that running back's getting all the reps. If I have one lineman, then that lineman's getting all the reps. And that's I really feel that way. Too many people worry, like especially in semi-pro, and I get it. And I get it. But I've been doing this for so long that I don't even worry who's going to show up. I'm just ready. Okay, if I'm coaching the O-line, I have my plan. I can deviate from that plan. I can do less. I can do more. But at least I have a plan. And I don't even worry. Last night, I think, you know, we didn't have like a full team, but whoever showed up is going to get the coaching. Mm-hmm. And I think in semi-pro, it's so hard because, you know, obviously with you guys in high school, it's a little different. You're going to be here every day. You're teaching them something, right? But once we hit the semi-pro level, well, they all got jobs. They all got families, kids now, young families. Sometimes, honestly, feel bad if a young kid, maybe say in his mid-20s, wants to play, he's got a couple kids. I was like, man, now I worry. What if he gets hurt? What if now I'm taking time away from his kids? So, I mean, that weighs on me. So if he tells me, hey, I can't make practice, I'll be like, hey, go take care of your family. Go take care of your job because that allows you to, like, I'd rather have you on game days. I can work with you. I'd rather have you here with us than not have you. And so I remember hearing something, Nick Saban was saying something like that. It's like, well, you know, his school always wanted to punish people and not play and all that. Well, yeah, but now, okay, Smith here did something wrong. Okay, you're out of here. Well, yeah, now I can't reach him.
Right.
Now I don't have them under my thumb, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. The program doesn't have that influence on them no more. Now, obviously, there's things that are unacceptable, whatever. But when you have them in the program, when you have them here, we can work with you here.
Right.
When you're not here, we can't work with you. And so you have to demonstrate that attitude first that you want to get better, right? But once you demonstrate that to us, we will work with you. We will work with that.
And I feel like that's something you've been preaching pretty hard, too.
I told my kids, I was like, I don't kick nobody off this team. You kick yourself off the team.
That's what Lipke always says. Yeah,
it's like, you guys understand. You guys need to understand one thing. It's like, obviously the rules are the rules. Like, you violate school rules, and there's something that's out of my hand, it's out of my hand. But I've laid down my rules for my kids, and my rules are pretty simple. It's like, get your grades, be eligible, and go to class. And I told him, I was like, you have unexcused absences. You're losing time. I was like, because it's simple enough. I was like, you're already here. What do you have better to do than not be in class? Mm-hmm. Like, explain that to me. Explain that to me as a 13 to 18-year-old kid, what you have better to do than being in class right now.
You have your whole life to sit on the couch and watch TV.
I mean, or whatever it is you're doing. But, like, I mean, even, like I said, especially even in Manitowoc. Like, you know, no, I'm not saying, like, oh, yeah, there's not that. Yeah, there isn't really a whole lot to do for teenage kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, until you turn 21, there ain't nothing to do in this town. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
strand adventures, but you know.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can go out and go play some stuff, but I'm saying, like, during the middle of the day, on a work day, in the middle of the work week, what are you doing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that is so important? Exactly. Yeah. That is so important that you ain't got to be somewhere on time. Like, you know what, you know, who are you playing video games with or whatever it is that they ain't got nothing to do at the same time? Exactly. Like, you know, and I tell the kids too all the time, I'm like, dude, just show up, get the stuff done, and you got the rest of your day to like, you know, right now we're doing we have a speed and agility thing through the weight room and just for all athletes. And I tell all the kids and I'm like, you know, we have the 6:31. We have one right after school. And I tell most of the guys, I'm like, just go to the 6:30 one.
Yeah. Then you can just go home when you're done.
I was like, just when school's over, you can go down. Now, I told the kids, I understand not all of you can get a ride. You know, parents, work schedule and stuff like that. But I'm like, for you varsity guys, you guys that are going to be playing, you know, on the varsity team next year, it's like, just show up.
Mm-hmm. Or ask some
It'll
of those
be
guys.
Over like that.
Ask some of those other older guys if you're one of the younger guys for a ride.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I mean, we're building a team here anyway.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, and to everyone's credit, they're showing up. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, I got guys that are going out of their way to pick other guys up, and then they'll show up without them sometimes, and I'll be like, couldn't get them out of bed today. And they're like shaking their head, you know, shaking their heads, moving along. And I'm like, hey, man, that's whatever. You know, it's like, hopefully, as long as they show up in the afternoon and stuff. But, you know, the other thing is, like we say, getting back to that me versus we thing and you know, I want to be a certain way. And the reason why I've been doing this stuff is because I want these kids to understand, you know, when you're going to go look around when we're actually as a team, you're going to sit there and you'd be like, wow, there's only maybe about 20% of us that really put in a lot of work here.
Yeah. And that's the 20% that's going to play.
You know, and then you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, okay, like I'm now playing with the, you know, or if you got some of those guys that come out and they, you know, it's high school. You know what I mean? Like there are certain kids where, you know, I've told guys too, I'm like, if you're playing other sports, you got other stuff, like that's understandable. Like I get that part. Those things come first. But I'm like, if you're not doing anything, you should be doing this.
Yeah. Right.
You know, conditioning wise, like I got guys talking about going to camps and stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, you go to a camp and you guys haven't been doing any of this stuff. I was like, you're going to get your butt kicked.
Exactly.
I was like, you're going to go embarrass yourself more than anything. You might as well not even show up. Like, you know, so, but like I said, it still comes back to like, who are the guys that put in the work? You know, because that's another thing too. You earn a lot of respect between everybody just by showing up.
Yes.
It's like the old adage, who do you want to be in the foxhole with? The guy that has been, that you went to basic training with, that you did all those 50-mile ruck marches with, or do you want the guy that's been on it going to the PT or going to the hospital every day because he doesn't feel well?
Yeah, exactly.
You want the guy who went through the crap with
stuff.
Exactly. Well, definitely. And I tell these kids too, it's like, you know, you come to find out, you know, these are the things that create that bond, that friendship, that lifelong experience that you ain't gonna find anywhere else.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've heard over the years a lot of guys, why I work out on my own or I do this on my own. And I'll be, well, the whole point is so you can work. Like if us three sit here and we're working, now I respect you. And I use that like
see the effort you're putting in.
Yes. Especially, it's no different than when you start meeting somebody's wife, some girlfriends or brothers, sisters. You see that respect just keeps growing. Yeah. You know, like people say, well, respect is earned, you know, not given. Well, you give a little respect, right? You're supposed to. But then the level of respect now is earned. Mm-hmm. And if you're there and you're like, I when I was coaching and I did some weight room, like watch the weight room or whatever. And I could see these guys, like if me and you are weight training and you do an extra rep, or guess what I'm doing? I'm doing an extra rep because he did it. We're doing box jumps. And wow, I made the last one. He didn't. Well, now guess who's trying hard to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're on your own and you miss a box jump, I'll just get it next time, right? But if you're doing the extra rep, then it becomes a competition. Like, well, you're doing it just because he's doing it. And you're doing absolutely. It because just it. I think parents miss that. Well, we got a weight room at home, or we got a membership at here, which is all great. That's fine. You do work on your own, but the whole point of having but part of it is, like you're saying, building that camaraderie in the off season. So when you're in season, guess what? Now you're matching each other's energy and you have that respect.
Well, exactly. You talk about the parents. I got a phone call from a parent last year, said, well, does he have to go weightlift? Is that a requirement? Well, yes, it's a requirement.
Yeah.
Well, why? Well, because he needs to be a part of the team, man. If he's not putting the effort in.
That's a part of it.
Yeah, and it's different in high school, too. Like I said, you know, with just how it is nowadays, this me thing and everyone, you know, it's like, don't get me wrong, like I said, everyone has got stuff. They got responsibilities. Yeah, yeah. But there's, like I said, it gets to a certain point when it's just like, now you're trying to dodge bullets here for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like there's no fair dodging at a certain point. Like at some point, you got to get up on the front line and you got to start firing back. Yep. Like, you know, it's not one of these things like, like I don't want to do it today. Well, it's like, I know you don't want to do it today.
Nobody ever wants to do it today, but tomorrow never comes.
Exactly. You know, but I, you know, it just really kind of, like I said, it comes back down to it. Because I remember, too, when I was in the NFL, it got to a certain point. Like, I always had guys to work out with. And then I remember, like, you know, the other thing is, too, sometimes it was hard to find guys that could match my energy with my workouts. Mm-hmm. Where, like, people would come, but they just couldn't hang with me. And I'd be like, sorry, dude. Like, the train's not stopping, dude. Like, you know, like,
we got to go. We got to work here.
Yeah, like, I'm not slowing down for you, you know what I mean? And then, you know, but that's why, like, all of a sudden, I'm working out with running backs and offensive linemen and stuff like that, getting my ass kicked. But it's like, I would need to find guys that be able to push me to the point where, like, I was like, okay, it was like, I know, like, you know, there's certain things that, like, I'm trying to get better at. So, like, go find these guys that are good at it and then try and push them or get up to their level or get past it, you know. But that's, you know, like you said, it gets tough at a point because people just, they don't understand that sometimes. Yeah. They don't understand that working environment, what it's really supposed to be like. and they just kind of think that they can individually just kind of be their own person. It's like, no, man, you got to buy it. Like, you know, I know that everybody's like, oh, why should I do this? Why should I do that? It's like,
why
should you do anything? It's right. Like, but if you're going to show up and you're going to do something, like, you might as well like invest in it.
Yes.
You know, like, that's the problem is everyone's always walking around with half a foot out the door waiting, just, you know, waiting for the moment to kind of just be like, yes, I told you so. See you later.
Well, let's put it in perspective for me. Like when I first started here at the radio station, if I still have a copy of my very first sports broadcast, it was horrible. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But I listened to it on occasion so I can be like, hey, that's where I started.
Yeah.
And now I listen to one from now. I'm like, hey, this is where I'm at now. If we would have started this when I first started 7 years ago,
it'd probably be pretty bad.
It would be dead. It would be dead already. It'd be dead already. I would not
go from 0 to 100 now.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, it's crazy how much work went into me getting to this point. I'm not saying I'm the greatest sports broadcaster of all or anything like that, but I can hold a conversation with you better now than I would have at the time.
Yeah, no, and definitely I think a lot of times to the kids, you know, we're talking about high school kids, and I can even throw in our semi-pro guys, many want the success now, you know, and if they don't see it, then they don't want to do it, and it's like they forget that it's the journey. It's the whole product for me. I love this. I love this off-season stuff. I love, and I tell some of the guys, I'm like, dude, don't put this much pressure on you. Don't worry about who's going to be here or not. Don't worry about whatever, because now you're going to start hating this. Now you're going to start bothering you. This stuff is going to start bothering you, and you don't want that. So it's like when I show up to a practice, when I show up to a game, hey, whoever comes when it's time to go, when you know it's 4 o'clock practice or it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, we got to go.
Right.
Whether we have 10 guys or 30 guys or 50, we have to go.
Right.
So what's going to happen? We have to now, as coaches or players, just be ready to do your job. And it's never, so to your kids listening or anybody listening, that's my mentality. And that's the mentality I want to share with people, that the world doesn't stop and the world doesn't care if you had a flat tire or what happened. Unfortunately, you have to show up when you have to show up and get the job done. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, some people do, because I say that to certain people, well, nobody cares why. It's a mentality that you have to have,
right?
That no one cares about your excuses. No one cares about why you didn't do something. And if you look in your own life, do you care why somebody didn't show up for you? Well, no. You're like, well, man, this guy didn't
I got to cover for you at work now because you weren't there. It doesn't matter why.
So the work ethic, I think, is number one. And when you're talking about the high school kids, you know, the parents of high schoolers, I'm telling you, just let them go through that program. Listen to the coach. Like everybody has a bitch, right? Everybody has a complaint. Like, I'm the type of guy that's like, I want to hear the criticism, but it gets to a point where I don't want to hear the criticism without what can you tell me to make this different?
Well, right.
What solutions can you bring to me?
I'm glad you say that. That's one of my favorite phrases is, are you complaining with a solution or are you complaining to complain?
Exactly.
Because if you're complaining to complain, you're not contributing to the issue.
Yes, because I feel like a lot of times, a lot of us, you know, go into situations just to complain and just to find the negative in everything. And it's like, be the positive. Anybody can bring in the negative. Why not? Let's be the person that brings out the positive. When you talk about semi-pro football, that's who we want to be. We want to bring out the positive. We want to bring out the good. We want to be the ones that say, yeah, we are family-oriented. We want you to bring your kids. We want you to bring your grandkids. We want to make it affordable for you to come and spend an afternoon and watching good football, watching these boys, man, because that's all they are, man. They're just young kids out there having a good time. And win or lose, that's what we want to be.
So you say bring out the positive. I'm going to give you a little bit of trivia here. Do you know why Jason Mraz's songs are all positive?
I don't know who that is.
Jason Mraz. What's the song? I can't think of him off the top of my head. He's the... Oh, I won't hesitate no more, no more. That guy?
Oh, yeah.
All of his songs are positive, and he said because it's easy to write a negative song. Everyone goes through negative stuff.
Exactly.
Got to keep it positive.
Got to keep it positive, man, because negatives are going to come, unfortunately. That's part of life,
right? Exactly.
But you have to keep that positive outlook. You know, you're talking to a guy that you know, I was a migrant farm worker growing up, right? It went straight into Foundry where there was a union. I ended up being president, you know, vice president, president, and all that stuff to running a semi-pro football team now. man, talk about negatives. There is negatives in all of that.
Oh yeah, and plenty of it.
But you know what? I don't let that bother me. It's sure. Just always every day presents a new opportunity to do something positive. Perfect. And to keep moving forward. Because like I said, no one wants to sit there and listen to how I had it hard waking up at 4 a.m. at 8, 9 years old going to pick vegetables. Right. No one wants to hear. No one cares.
Right.
I've yet to this day someone come up to me and say, Marcos, I'm sorry that you had to live a migrant lifestyle. Here's $20. You know, here's this. No one has.
Right.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. But the mentality has to be that no one cares. Like you want something, you got to go get it. And it's not, oh, it must be nice to have this. Or, you know, you're so lucky to have that. No, there was some luck that played along the way.
Sure.
Right? Because you have good people around you. But you have to put the full, you always have to be willing to work hard.
I love that.
Always
be willing to work hard. Coach Smith had to step out for a second. I'm officially getting my hip replaced on June 4th.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Man.
So that's what that call was about, was to finalize that. But sorry, I didn't mean to step in on this one on the last end, but it's funny that you bring that up, the must be nice kind of thing. Because I remember when I played in the NFL, the guys would say that to me sometimes, like, damn, must be nice. I'd be like, you damn right tried it. I'd be like, damn right it is. Like, because
yeah, and I put the effort in.
Well, no, and that's what it, and they'd be like, you know, and I'd just be like, yeah, you're right. It's like, because I freaking, you know, because I worked my butt off to get here. So, exactly. Yeah, it is nice, you know, but it's like, you guys, it's like, you want to sit there and say that comment. It's like, you don't realize, like, everything that went
into it. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I faced that a lot with the semi-pro football team. It's like, well, yeah, you know, being an owner is not all that's cracked up to be. That's why people don't last in this business. But like I said, I think the number one thing. And I was reading a book. I think it was Phil Jackson's The Five Rings or Six or whatever that was. I was reading that book. I haven't finished it, but I kind of go back and forth because I'll write down quotes in my book and then I just go back and read it. But one of them in that book was talking about how our profession or the profession of coaching, you know, attracts a lot of alpha males. So it makes it hard to build a team when you have alpha males because a lot of alpha males, well, there are alpha males, right? Mm-hmm. But when you can find a good alpha male that can be a good teammate, and the greatest, that would be the best thing for a program. And I remember Coach Kevin Shilcox, Two Rivers, the one thing he told me is probably the greatest compliment I've had in my life. He says, you know, Marcos, I like having, you know, you no job is too small for you. And it's like, wow, that's actually, I felt like pretty cool. So thank you, Coach Kevin, if you're listening to that. But, if I ever go back to coaching high school, you know, hopefully you'll take me back. So this is my application, Coach. But anyway, I had to step away for, you know, work reasons. My work lifestyle kind of changed. I couldn't give what I could to the program, and I didn't want to shortchange anybody. But I love it. I love that staff. Two Rivers is a great, great place to coach. But he told me that because I was always willing to do anything. It's like, hey, man, I'll go get the water. I'll go get the equipment. I'll do everything. Like, I'm always busy. Like, I can't. It's part of me, just my brain. I just can't, like, I am a lazy guy, so don't think I'm, like, not lazy. I trust me, there's mornings I can't get out of bed either. There's times where I'm just drinking all day on a Sunday or whatever.
You're lazy when lazy is, you're lazy when it's okay to be
when
lazy.
When I bought some stock in what I'm doing, then but I mean, you know, it's like we have to have that mentality. Like, number one is just work.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, have good people around you. I mean, I've learned that. I'm 47, and I barely, maybe in the last 4 years, really bought into that. And it's like, wow, just sometimes I sit back, and I'm amazed at how many good people are out there. I mean, there's bad. I mean,
plenty.
Going through my lifestyle, I mean, I can tell you, or the way I grew up, I can tell you that there was a lot of bad people. But you know what? There was four times more better people. And they're out there. But you know what? Talking about Coach Kevin, I'll throw out this book he told me that, you know, told us one year, a couple years back to read. It was called The Twin Thieves. And it talked about what kept you from participating or excelling, or what kept you from being a leader was a fear. The twin thieves were that robbed you of that was the fear of judgment, the fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get past those, You were good. And he told the staff, hey, I read this book, I want you all to read it. And it's probably the first book I actually read it. But it has a good stuff on there on leadership and how team building, that it's actually a very good book. And it's like, it just talks about those things too. It talks about how you just have to submit to yourself to your work, you know. And that's something my dad always told us as because you got to submit yourself. Like, nobody wants to submit, right? It's a negative word people think, but I think it's a positive word when you got to submit yourself to your marriage. You got to submit yourself to your kids, to your situation, and that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That's just you saying, hey, man, I'm gonna buy into this and say, hey, I'm gonna trust you because you're a good guy, and that's why I have you around. When you're, it's like that old saying, if you hang around with two clowns, you're going to be the third.
I like that.
You know, because I listen to a lot of this stuff, and that's what like, wait a minute, I'm out here clowning around. Like you're saying, it's time. Sometimes I do go golfing just to have a few drinks and, you know, shoot the crap with the guys. But sometimes it's time to go to work. And I think that we lose that because we think that once you win, you know, one of the coaches I coached with, and I don't know who it was, but I do pay attention to the coaches I coach with. But one of the guys told me, when we win, the wins are yours, talking to the players. When we lose, I take those.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really felt that years back. And I was like, you know, I used that. And I was like, when we win, hey, man, we won because of y'all.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, I'm a self-critic. There's probably four things, maybe a dozen things in this game I probably could have done different, you know, calling offense or something. Mm-hmm. But I'll take the loss because I'm going to get better.
And I didn't prepare you well enough.
Yes, and that got me more fired up. Like, losses for – and maybe some of you listening will understand. Maybe some of you won't, but I'm just different. Losses fired me up more than wins sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to get to work. When I win, it's like, yeah, you all won, and you celebrate, and it's fun. But when you lose – boy, you're going to catch me the next morning watching film already. Or why is the film up? Hey, I need to see this film.
Well, that's what I was telling the freshman kids last year. Like, I hate losing more than anything on this planet. It can be a simple dice game at the bar or a football game on the state championship football game. Anything in between. I hate losing. So if I lose, I want to know why. What caused us to lose?
Yes.
So how can we fix that moving forward?
What can we do? How can we go forward? I'm a move forward type of guy. Mm-hmm. You know, if we are at odds today, fine. But you know what? What happened? Why are we at odds? You know, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. I always preach that to anybody I talk to. You know what? Just the other day, I was talking to one of our players. They're having a situation, you know? And I said, hey, man, okay, we got past all that. You already vented. How do we move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And not many people talk about that.
Yeah,
but it's like, how do we move forward now? Okay, yeah. That happened. How do we move forward? So are we eliminating this? Well, okay, we already bitched the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to get better? And that's how I approach everything. Like, okay, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. Not forgetting what got us to that point, mm-hmm. but it always has to be a move forward mentality.
Absolutely. Well, Marcos, we could sit here all day and talk about or the other thing, but we got to wrap this up at some point. So let me give you an opportunity here to shout out all of your contact information, all the socials, all the websites, phone numbers.
Any open dates, if you guys are starting practice, when and where guys can show up.
We are underway with our indoor practices the month of March. We have three more this month. And those dates are on our website, which is MarinersFootballMC.com. That's www.MarinersFootballMC.com, Manitowoc County Mariners Facebook page. Our website's on there, so you can come check us out at any time. Right now, we're still accepting players, I think, till like the third week of the season, which the season starts May 4th. But if you don't have equipment, stuff like that, we have some stuff, and we can direct you where to get it. Like I said last night, and I told you guys earlier today, we can work with you when you're here. If you don't come, you don't message us, our information is on the website. We can work with you. We'll work with anything, but we need to get in contact first. But we're here. We're willing to help. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities. We work a lot with the Hope House in Manitowoc here. Like I said, we do Y camps. We're looking to do another one. So thanks to them for helping with us. We have a list of our sponsors. So support our sponsors. We could not do that with what we're doing without our sponsors. So there's just so many. If you want to help, you want to be busy, maybe you want something to do, trust me, we'll find a job for you where you can volunteer and feel good about yourself. If you're dealing with a mental issue and stuff like that, my advice to you, I have my own issues. What keeps me on a positive side is the volunteerism that we do and the help that we give to our community. That makes me feel good about myself when I'm feeling down. So we'll find you a job. Just get out here. Whatever you feel you can help us with, man, we'd love to have you be a part of our family.
All right, game one for the Manitowoc County Mariners is on the road against the Madison Mad Dogs on May 4th. Home opener. May 18th against the Brown County Blackjacks at the legendary Ron Rubick Municipal Field. All right, so coming up next week for the On the Line podcast, one of my favorite people, Mark Hins, is going to talk about local hockey. We got two youth teams that went; they're going to state. The Bantams, sadly, lost at their state tournament this past weekend. They lost their first game in overtime. They lost their second game in overtime, but they finally picked up a win in the seventh place game over Marinette, so that was nice for them. The Peewees are playing this coming weekend. So Mark Hins, the head coach of the Manitowoc United High School hockey team and where they're going. And then a date that we have both been looking forward to since we have put it on the books, Keith Bondi coming in the following week to talk about officiating, getting some guys in here to officiate and all that sort of stuff. We're going to have to expand our minds a little bit on the next one. Not something I'm too confident in talking about, but we'll get through it. Jackie Bartow, the Manitowoc Lincoln gymnastics coach, is coming in. We're going to talk about gymnastics, how they do their whole thing. Michael Wayne Rutherford, a guy you may be familiar with.
He wrestled that night we had.
Yeah, he's coming in. The week of WrestleMania, we're going to talk about wrestling. Nice. Yeah. I planned that out. I have a little bit of a thought behind what I'm doing.
You have grown.
Yeah. I put a little bit of thought into what's going on here.
There you go.
And then one that I was able to confirm last week after we recorded, the Fox Cities Roller Derby team. You didn't know we had a roller derby team in the area.
Yeah, that's what we're...
Is it brand new?
No, they've been around for a minute, I guess. But it's Lunatic is coming in along with Just the Hip. That's H-I-P. Those are they all give themselves fun names, okay, right? It's like the wrestlers give themselves fun names. So Fox City's Roller Derby coming in the week of April 22nd. And then a Bella nutritionist, Dr. Lee... Oh, I'm not even going to try to say his last name. Dr. Lee is what I'm going to go with. Dr. Lee from Bell and going to come in and talk about nutrition. And we're going to have operations manager from the CA for Broadcasting, Jim Medley, on one of these days, either probably the week of April 8th or the 15th, to talk about how we schedule games for on the air. Because that is something we get endless emails about. Why do you have this game? Why don't you have that game?
Yeah.
I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek. It all comes down to money.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that, but it all comes down to money for the most part. So that's what we have coming up. I want to remind everyone about the On the Line podcast page on Facebook, on Instagram. We give you these little clips all the time. It's all sorts of fun. You can reach out to us if you have a question for Evan. One of these days, I hope to have enough questions that we just go through an entire hour-long episode and just be like, hey, Evan, what's your favorite play from all those years? What is your take on this thing? What's your take on that thing? I want it to be an Ask Evan podcast.
Third place keep.
So we got that's my goal. And I want you guys, the listeners, to help me out with that. All you got to do is go to the Facebook page, the On the Line podcast Facebook page, Instagram page. Send us a message, comment, whatever. We'll keep track of all of them. And we'll make sure to ask Evan or myself. If you have any questions for me, that's fine too. Let's see here. Don't forget to stop in at the Sea Haver Broadcasting Studios on Nangan Street in Manitowoc for the deals of the week. This week, certificates are available for the Golden Flame Family Restaurant, Rustic Rose Floral and Gifts, La Coretta, and our family restaurant, all of which are in Manitowoc, and the Aspira Spa at the Ostoff Resort in Elkhart Lake.
Nice.
Anything else you guys want to say before we sign off here for the day?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Appreciate you coming on. You had a lot of really good stuff, and like we always said, any of you prospecting football players or anybody that just wants to get back out there for the love of the game, help, whatever it is, go online, check it out, check out the semi-pro teams around the area. There's a lot of good stuff going on in Manitowoc County, and we're going to continue to highlight it.
All right. Thank you. Marco Salfaro, thanks for coming in today for the Manitowoc County Mariners. For Evan Smith, I'm Ryan Braum. Stay classy, everybody.
Take it easy.
What do you want to ask the guys? Message the On the Line podcast on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and the guys will read them on the next podcast. All previous episodes can be found in the sports section of seahafernews.com. On the Line with Evan Smith and Ryan Braum.